There's always going to be people that don't want to see you succeed or that feel like you're stepping on their toes. I just love competition.
That's this industry, though.
Of course, at any
no
level.
No matter what level you're in.
At any level. Yeah. So for me, you know, when you tell me no, like, that. Yeah. Like, right. I'm coming for that. I'm right, coming yeah. for that space. You know,
yeah.
no's can bring a lot of people down. No's get me excited.
No's are a challenge. Do.
Well, every no you get, you're closer to a yes. That's kind of how I've run my life and my mindset and mentality yeah. in this business, in my life. I mean, my wife, she said no about 15 times. I was like, it is on, baby. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California.
Welcome to Under All is the Land, Season 2, Episode 11. I'm your host, Courtney Polis, here with my rockstar co-stars, Silke Fernald.
Hello.
And Dominique Madden.
Hello.
Did you see the real deal this morning?
No.
Hilton and Highland.
Oh,
guy,
yes.
Hilton. He's now Hilton and Hilton.
Okay.
Baron and Rick, creating their own luxury agency.
They left Highland behind.
I thought you said the real for a second.
The real deal.
You know what I mean? Like that talk show?
Yeah.
But yes, I did see the real deal.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Lots of movement is happening.
A lot of movement happening.
You heard about Corcoran?
Well, did I hear about Corcoran? Yes, I did. Sure did. So yes. Cal Corcoran just collapsed
doors
so quickly.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah, the insider scoop I got is that they were, I guess, spending a lot of money on acquisitions and didn't have a plan in place for market shifts.
It seems like that is a big thing with these companies who are paying for acquisitions.
It does.
There doesn't seem to be much of a plan.
Just random buying.
I know. Especially if you're getting like, you know, say foreign investment or that kind of thing that can constantly make you look like you're winning when actually you can't really turn a profit on your current model. I'll be curious to see how those companies survive the market shifts.
Well, or not.
Or not.
They're already not surviving. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I'm very curious. Yeah. Very curious.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to make this intro very quick because we have a very special guest, celebrity real estate agent James Harris of the agency and Bond Collective and Million Dollar Listing and all the things, who's one of my favorite agents to do a deal with. And he is here to join us on Under All is the Land. Let's welcome James Harris.
Woo! Happy to be here.
Happy to have you.
Having me.
Happy to have you.
A really fun podcast. We can say whatever we want.
That's
we
it. Can.
Which is great because that's what we do.
Yes, it is.
I love it.
Well, we're so excited to have you here because we have a ton of things to pick your brain about, right?
Yes.
Ladies?
Yes.
We've been talking all week about all the things inappropriate and appropriate that we're going to ask you.
Excellent. We love inappropriate and let's go.
Okay. All right. All right, so first things first, you guys have had some big news lately, so we'll talk about your news first.
Okay.
Okay, so tell us your big news.
It's very exciting. We just merged, which has been something I've been thinking about with David for 9 months, and we've now merged with the Grauman Rosenfeld Group, and we've become Bond Collective.
Bond Collective.
Yeah, so we got over 60 agents on the team. And we're really excited. I think the whole agent community is changing. Teams 10 years ago really wasn't a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Today it is. And so now we're forming a mega team, opening in other markets, and just really excited about everything
it brings.
Markets?
What markets? Yeah.
No, there's multiple markets, you know, definitely the key markets, so New York and obviously through California. We want to be in Santa Barbara and San Diego and Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knows where the future will take us.
Is your job going to change with all these new agents? Are you going to move into management kind of a thing?
You know, no, happening? I love selling real estate. I'm a deal junkie, I always say. But we have, and one of the most attractive things about this merger was just the unbelievable team that runs the engine. And so, no, I think I will definitely oversee the sales side of things,
mm-hmm.
but I'm always going to focus on selling because it's what I love, but of course the growth of the business as well.
So what listings do you turn down?
So it's so funny. Over the years, I've had these phone calls where I've seen a property sell and I knew the person and they're like, we thought it was too small. I don't turn down listings.
What?
I am a deal junkie. And the truth is, you know, the 20, 30, 50, $100 million deals are great and we love them and they're exciting and they're career changing. But the $1 to $5 million deals are what are bread and butter. That's what keeps the wheels turning. I love them.
There's only so many $40 million houses.
Or $40 million buyers.
And correct. That.
Exactly.
And I'll add to that. You know, you do a $1 million deal, you don't know where that person will be in 5 years. Exactly. You don't know who that person's friends are. And you don't know what it will do. And I'll tell you, I did a lease 8 years ago, and it turned into a $90 million sale. So you can never discount any deal at any number because you don't know what it could lead to.
True.
Okay. Yeah. So I have a question for you. Where did you start?
I started in London at the age of 16 years
old. Okay, there you go. So in London, you can get your license at 16?
In London, you don't need a license to transact.
Holy shit.
No license needed. I was fresh out of school.
Really fresh. You weren't
really
still
fresh.
In school?
I wasn't even legally out of school. No, I got out. I was thrown out of every school I ever stepped foot in.
I believe that.
It's true. And I hit the pavement and got my first job as a junior, as an assistant. I didn't really care what I was doing. I was putting letters through the mail machine and making coffees and getting keys copied and just worked my way up the ranks. And I did that for 5 years before moving to LA.
What made you come to LA?
Crazy story, but I just really hadn't done what everyone else my age had done, which was finish school. And then in London, you take a gap year before you go to university and you travel the world. And I'd gone straight to work for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to travel and I came here for what I thought was 3 months. I kept my job in London. They paid me whilst I came here for 3 months. And I just fell in love with this city. I really did. The sunshine, the lifestyle, and everything that this city had to offer. And that was 19 years ago.
Wow.
Almost to the date. So crazy.
Okay. So you're not going back.
I'm not going back. I got my wife, two children here. My wife would last about 3 minutes in London's climate. So I'm staying right here.
Okay. Good. So you're here to stay. All right. So what was your first, what do you consider luxury? What was your first luxury deal and how much was it?
Yeah, people ask that. I don't consider luxury like a dollar amount on a deal. I consider luxury to be a lifestyle. I consider luxury to be a way that you carry yourself. I see luxury being the way you handle your business and the way that you put yourself out there. Luxury is a brand, right? And as agents, we're independent and we create our own brand. Don't get me wrong, luxury. No, I disagree. No,
what
I disagree.
What was your first higher selling deal?
There is a difference. Come on.
There's a difference
in the buyers of $5 million.
Disagree.
And 10.
No, disagree. If I go and sell, hang on, we did a deal together for $2.5 million.
Yes.
Would you consider that luxury?
Yes.
Okay, so what would you not consider luxury?
$950,000.
Okay, right. So you go to that listing meeting. What are you going to dress differently? Are you going to carry yourself differently?
No, I always dress the same.
Okay.
But the thing is, you know, Acme, our brand, we elevate all of our listings, right?
Exactly.
So we definitely...
Do you consider Acme to be luxury?
We have Acme luxury, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Everything's luxury.
But not everything is luxury. No, and what
it's
I'm saying...
It's a mindset.
Okay, fine.
For me.
Let's just say you win at this particular thing.
Yeah.
I've never done...
I'm going to keep challenging.
I've never done a $50 million deal. I don't know what a $50 million deal's components look like. How is that different than our $2.5 million deal?
So I had this conversation last night. The only thing that changes, and I really do mean this, is the paycheck.
Really?
Absolutely. You have to remember the person buying a $950,000 home is likely going to be more of a headache in many, 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 many ways than the person buying a $50 million home. It's likely their first home. It's likely the most expensive transaction they've ever made. It's in many cases likely the first home they've ever bought. You have to handhold them through the process. You deal with a $50 million sale, chances are they bought 2, 3, 4, 5 of these homes. They have 3 of them around the world. It's a business transaction. And they know what the hell they're doing.
You're dealing with business managers at
that level.
Yeah, but
that was
going to
say,
which is a different headache level.
By the way, don't get me wrong. Closing a $50 million deal is a fucking nightmare. And it comes with a shitload of intricacies. And you're dealing with business managers and you're dealing with lawyers and you're dealing with inspections and you have to go through 500 pages of inspection reports. But the truth is nothing changes. You're still transacting a home. There's still a buyer. There's still a seller. Right. You're still doing inspections. They're just faster and greater and more detailed. But the reality is, the paycheck changes, the transaction remains the same. And if we're diligent for the $1 million deal, we're just going to be as diligent, if not more, for the $50 million deal. Mm-hmm. And that's really, I genuinely believe that's what it comes down to.
So you think, like, as far as, you know, I'll tell you a little story. When I moved from D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, where I was licensed and sold for 5 years, to L.A.
Yep.
I joined a firm that's known for luxury. I walked in there thinking I was the shit. Like, I already
you
got
are
this,
shit.
Right? I'm just walking. Yes.
You
I was
are
like,
the
well.
Shit.
Right? And I said, okay, I'm ready to sell luxury. You know, I was ready. And I'm like, put me on with somebody who's doing, you know, these architecture roles in Santa Monica for like $50 million. I'm like, ready to go. And they like laughed me out of the room. They were like, oh no, that's not how it works, honey. Like, it's who you know, and nobody's given up their secrets, you know? Do you find that there's any more territorialism or any more attitude, like any more of those kind of not transactional things that...
Yes,
yes.
Okay. Of course.
Tell me about that.
Look, when you go high end and you're talking 20 million plus, the stakes are a lot higher, the paychecks are a lot greater, and there's a lot of competition going for that business. And I'd say there's a small group of agents that within our community that are going for that business. And 10 years ago, there were two young British guys that didn't know anybody trying to step into that space. And of course, people tried to block us. People tried to stop us. People thought we weren't real. People thought we were time wasters. And the reality is, if you just stay in your lane and put your head down and focus and roll up your sleeves and do the dirty work, which we had to do, which was a lot of door knocking, a lot of getting front and center.
I got one of your letters. Did you know that?
Great.
I responded to it.
Great.
I said, James, seriously, bro, you
great.
Know if I sell my place,
but
I'm going to sell it.
Yeah, probably. But guess what? You still got the letter.
But I did. So you're still farming.
But the thing is, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing changes, right? But of course, you got to get through the people that... There's always going to be people that don't want to see you succeed or that feel like you're stepping on their toes. I just love competition.
That's this industry, though.
Of course, at any
no
level.
No matter what level you're in.
At any level. Yeah. So for me, you know, when you tell me no, like, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I'm coming for that. I'm
right,
coming
yeah.
for that space. You know,
yeah.
no's can bring a lot of people down. No's get me excited.
No's are a challenge.
Well, every no you get, you're closer to a yes. That's kind of how I've run my life and my mindset and mentality
yeah.
in this business, in my life. I mean, my wife, she said no about 15 times. And now I got two kids.
Good job. So
yeah, people are territorial, but again, nothing changes. You're selling a house. You're in this area here. I don't know the average sale price. Call it $1 million, $2 million. You still have agents that feel territorial for this area. Then you come in and you become one of those people.
Crush it.
Absolutely.
Don't we know it?
Absolutely.
So I was going to say what qualities, because we have a lot of agents who watch our show that are not necessarily here in LA,
yep.
but probably this would apply across the board. What qualities in a real estate agent do you feel like you need to have in order to be able to sell in that competitive environment?
So I think the first thing in any environment as a real estate agent, you have to be willing to give it 110%, right? There's such a low barrier of entry into this business.
We talked about that.
What we were saying. And that kind of drives me a little bit crazy because anyone can become a realtor, right?
Yep.
And the market that we're going in is going to push a lot of those people
out
right?
Yep.
Because they're just not going to be able to make money. So I think if you're going to get into this industry, you have to be willing to give it everything and more. You have to, and I think any industry, right? You have to be passionate. You have to live it, breathe it, sleep it. And if you do and you truly love it and genuinely enjoy it, there's no reason you shouldn't be successful. If you are prepared to be creative, think outside of the box, and you have that competitive edge, there's no ceiling, right, to how successful you can be. This is a business where we write our own paychecks, right? There's very few businesses. You write your own paycheck. You create your own level of success. That's the type of business I want to be in. I'm going to give it 120%. There's a lot of people that want to give it 20%, 30%,
that
40%.
That is so true. Phoning in. We were just talking.
And they
about
want
that
to expect the same results,
yes,
as the
they
people.
Do.
And it just doesn't work. Yeah,
it
right.
Does
you don't just
like
get
that
your license and then you turn into James Harris.
Correct. Or any of us sitting at this table. Or any of us sitting at this table.
But speaking of James Harris, so once you became more famous, do you get a lot of calls about listings that aren't real because people want to meet you?
You know, TV is an amazing asset in many, many ways. You know, people don't just pick up the phone from TV. Let me backtrack. They do pick up the phone, but the people that pick up the phone from TV, they have a $2 million home, but they want you to sell it for $10 million because they've seen you do great things on television and they think you're a magician. So you have to very lightly and politely tell them you're insane. and by the way, don't get me wrong, TV has been tremendously successful and helpful. It's been a great platform to show the world how we do things and who we really are. And we've generated a lot of business from TV, but it doesn't take away that if you don't put in the work and the time and the effort and the energy, then TV or no TV, you're going to fail. You have to put in the work. You have to put in the effort, the energy, the excitement, the passion and love towards what you do in order to be successful.
So you don't get fake listing calls?
Oh, no, we get those too.
Did you ever have a stalker?
Yeah, yes. We've not a stalker. We've had some weird shit go down.
Like, tell us more.
Well, we had one situation where Dave and I thought we were going to a listing meeting in West Hollywood, and we were greeted by a couple that were in bikinis and tidy whities or whatever you call them. So we're like, this is bizarre. And then they sat us down in the living room on the floor to have the listing meeting. What? And then we just realized they wanted to have a full-blown foursome.
Oh my God.
And honestly, I said to them, look, I'm married. If I wasn't, I'd probably consider this madness. But I am, thank you, and no thank you. And I left. That was probably one of the weirder ones. But yes.
That's really weird.
Really weird.
Yeah, that really sounds weird. Really, really yeah, weird.
So now how do you vet that?
You don't. You just go just for it and see where it takes you. But yeah, I wasn't about to end my marriage over that.
No, not over a little.
It was $100 million.
Tiny
it was like $4 million. $100 million, maybe. Oh, $200 million, my wife would have to understand.
You could buy her back. You could buy her back.
Oh my God.
A Birkin, we're good, honey.
So has the luxury, well, what I'm calling luxury, but what you call high end, has that seen the same shift as the kind of like lower end?
Yes. I think, look, people always think, oh, these people are unaffected. You know, they've got so much money. Everyone's affected, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the economy's changing. Interest rates are going up.
But even intentionally, that's the thing that pisses me off. When I look at what their agenda is to increase unemployment. I'm like, how do we just stand by and let this? We're like, it's so fucked up.
It's so fucked up. But look, anybody across any level of wealth affected by
economic changes.
Of course, of right? Course. And so if you're worth 100,000, 100 million, or several billion, your stock portfolio is going down. Your crypto portfolio is going down. Interest rates are going up. So everyone's affected at some level and everything's relative. I do think with the change in the market will come great buying opportunities. I don't think this is 2008. This
it's
isn't
not
a subprime mortgage crisis where there's just tons of toxic debt out there. But rising interest rates will push people out of the market.
It's always good for somebody, though. I built my entire business in right after 2008.
By the way, this provides tons of opportunity. And for those, again, that see this as the glass being half empty, are likely the ones that will fuck up and fold.
Yeah.
The ones that see this as opportunity and growth, yes, and there's so much opportunity that comes.
Yeah. You can always refinance your rate down, but you will never get that purchase price back.
Correct. Yeah. David actually told me a great saying. He's like, you're not marrying your loan, you're dating it. And it's fucking true. Like,
yeah, we said
that
too.
That's true.
True. Said that.
But it's true.
It is true.
So through COVID, you were borrowing in the twos. That wasn't normal.
Yeah.
So now we're in the sixes. That's actually more normal than the twos.
Yeah.
And guess what? 2 years from now, you'll refinance into fours. Like, boo-hoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So your pricing strategy has changed.
For certain properties, yes, and others, no.
Tell me.
Yeah, I mean, look. The $1 to $5 million, we're not getting 25 offers. That
right,
wasn't
so you're
healthy.
Not underpricing anymore.
Exactly. The pricing strategy through COVID, if a property was worth $5 million, you'd price it at 499, it would sell at 5.5 to 6. It was mm-hmm. getting crazy. Mm-hmm. Today, if a property's worth $5 million, you're probably back at pricing it at 5.5 and it's probably selling at 4.6, 4.7. It's literally the flip. It's the reverse engineer of what it was. But for good quality product that's priced correctly, it's still selling. It's
yeah,
still selling.
That's true.
Still selling.
People
but the sellers
afraid.
Have to be realistic. That's the
very
thing.
Realistic. And look, if you have an unrealistic seller, I'd rather not take the listing. I really would rather
so
not take it.
So you are turning down some listings.
If it's an yes,
I got
yes.
you.
If it's an unrealistic seller, time is money. I'd
but
rather spend
they
my
all?
Time. No. No. Unrealistic?
Mm-hmm.
I hope not. No.
In
no.
a way, they're also spoiled now.
Yeah, I think people are starting to come to terms with this is what's happening,
right?
You know, and I think the big reason you're hearing there's no inventory is a lot of people aren't going to want to sell. Why would they sell and then go and borrow at 6%? So it's going to definitely cause a lack of inventory, and it's going to make us have to be more creative about the buyers that we do have. How do we find them properties?
Yeah,
for sure.
Do you adjust your marketing budget to accommodate maybe houses in that range being on the market longer? Because you spend a lot. What's your marketing budget on a $10 million house?
It varies. It could be $5,000. It could be $25,000. It just depends. Are you throwing an event? How are you taking this marketing internationally? Are you taking it internationally? Mm-hmm. Are you creating a book? Are you not? So there's variations of how you market those properties.
You wouldn't do that just for every single one of those properties?
No, I don't think it's necessary. I'm not going to go and market a $1 million home.
I said $10 million.
Oh, $10 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, every $10 million home has curated marketing, and it should.
Mm-hmm.
No two $10 million properties are the same, and no two $10 million properties are going to the same buyer necessarily. So
are a lot of the buyers foreign buyers for those
properties? No, I think there's a misconception of this big wave of international buyers. It's a lot of domestic, a lot of people coming from the East Coast to the West Coast, a lot of people coming from Northern California, tech money coming to the West Coast. But yes, of course, there are foreign buyers, a lot of Europeans, but it's a mixture of everything.
What's your favorite way to market internationally?
It's different platforms that we're affiliated with. Obviously, the agency are affiliated with Savills, who have 550 different offices. There's many different publications
throughout
Britain.
So it's through your like network?
Through all network.
Mm-hmm.
All network. And I think you have to be intentional with how you market a property, whether it's just here in the US or international. If you just go and cast the net, you're not getting specific and targeting the people that you think buy the house. I think you need to be intentional, identify who the buyer is for a specific property, and then go and market it to those people as best you can.
Total sense to
me. I'm curious about whether you've seen any shift or any like movement due to this new luxury property tax or this
the ULA.
Woo, that's one I don't like at all.
We all voted against it.
Yeah, so April is obviously April 1, 2023 is when it takes effect.
Let's explain what it is. The ULA is a LA city transfer tax.
Correct.
That was on the ballot that I don't think people understood. I think in LA, we've talked about this. I'm not going to go too deeply into it because we did a whole episode and decided not to air it because we thought maybe it would be too controversial, which is rare for us. But the reality of it is I don't think people understood what they were voting for. It felt like a Robin Hood tax. It's like you're upping the transfer tax on properties that are $5 million and then above. It goes to 5.5% at $10 million and above, I think. And
that's correct.
It's 5% at $5
million? Correct. 4%
at 4%. $5 million transfer tax.
Yep.
It affects commercial and residential properties in the city of Los Angeles.
Correct.
So what do you think is going to happen?
You know,
how does this affect your clients?
Well, firstly, between now and April, I think we're going to see a tremendous amount of sellers coming out the woodwork and trying to push their sale before April 1st. I would if I was a seller.
Some ripe fruit to pick.
Correct. Exactly. Come April 1st, I think, look, it's going to be tough. Okay. I think it's, you know, you sell a house for $25 million. You got a 5.5% tax, you got a 5% commission, you've got transfer taxes. Suddenly you're into it where you have to deduct 12%. That's big,
crazy.
Big money. It's a few million dollars off the top of your net, right? So gross. I think, look, it's just going to become a point of negotiation, right? Negotiation between buyer, seller. I'm sure there's people figuring out loopholes to that law as we speak.
Side agreements.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I actually don't know. I think it's too early on. I can't believe it passed.
I can't either.
Truly.
But you know what? I don't feel like our industry did enough. I saw like a few newsletters from a few different agents.
I agree with you.
And I didn't see, where was the, people didn't understand what they were signing.
I don't
disagree. My problem with it is, I feel like as just a kind of small time property owner, I buy property in the city of Los Angeles because it's going to appreciate, and I hope it appreciates to a price where I can use it as my 401k or whatever.
Correct.
Whatever. And so this really suffocates. And in fact, like, really would make me want to take my money out and move it outside the city of Los Angeles. 100%. So now you get none of my money, city of Los Angeles.
Yep.
You get none of it.
Yep. But see, people aren't taught economics before voting. You know what I mean? So a lot of people don't understand. They just see the flashy words and the fact that now you're funding other things and whatnot. It's all sales.
It was disguised as helping the homeless. Who doesn't want to help?
That's how they disguise everything.
Right? Yes. And then right after the announcement.
All you read was homeless. Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. Help the homeless. And then right after it, Gavin Newsom announced that he had $1 billion he was holding that was supposed to be used to fight homelessness. $1 billion just holding.
I don't like politics. I don't like any of it. All I know is Karen Bass wasn't for it. Rick Caruso wasn't for it. It somehow passed.
How did it happen?
I don't get it. But you know what? We adjust, we move forward, and we deal with it.
I think what you suggested is probably what's going to happen. I think buyer and seller are going to split it or something.
It has to get factored into the deal somehow.
Somehow.
Ain't coming for our commissions. You're going to have to figure it out.
Oh, so you never reduce your commissions? How do you handle that conversation when people are like, you know, you're a real estate celebrity, so I'm sure you can sell it quickly.
No, I don't. I don't like to negotiate commissions. I don't think anybody likes to negotiate commissions. There's certainly always going to be a circumstance that pops up where you have to negotiate a commission. Mm-hmm. And I think in this business, like, don't be greedy. Mm-hmm. It will come back. So you have to kind of weigh up your options at the time and figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I see. I like
that's
how you
very
skirted that.
Oh, I'm definitely staying diplomatic on that one.
Diplomatically.
Yes.
For your new enterprise, do you ever take on new agents to your team?
Or of course.
You do. And so how do you train them?
So we, Bond Street Partners, over the last 10 years have always kept it very lean and mean. Mm-hmm. And we've had, you know, 3 to 5 agents that we've trained over the years. And they've all done very well. With Bond Collective, now we're an engine, right? So we're going to have a university within Bond Collective that helps with training, masterclasses, things of that.
What if your agents aren't what if you bring them on, they say all the right things, and then they just don't perform?
Well, there's going to be targets, quotas that you have to hit. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you're only successful if you close deals, right? If you're not closing deals, you're on the wrong team. I don't care if you're on our team or another team or on your own, right? Your biggest competition should be yourself, right? I know that's the case for me.
Yeah.
So we will have quotes in place, and if they don't hit it, on to the next.
Yeah. We're gonna play a game. It's called What Would James Do?
Oh, hello.
WWJD.
Okay.
Okay, some of these might be easy, but we're interested.
Let's go.
All right. Price drop after 2 weeks?
Definitely yes.
Really?
Absolutely. I love
2 weeks?
That. Yeah,
even
you absolutely.
Even this market?
Yes.
Okay.
Even more so.
Ooh, how much do you price drop?
No, I think you go into a listing meeting with an expectation with your seller of, hey, we're going to price it at here. If it's not sold in 14 days, let's reduce it to here. Communication is key in this business, so you set it from the outset.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. List price at what you want or under to draw buzz?
Depends on the market you're in.
This market right now.
I would probably price it a little bit higher with some room for negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So overpriced with room for negotiation.
Let's not go that far. Overpriced.
Slightly overpriced?
I think there's always a buffer, right? And then have the conversation of a price reduction.
Right. Because buyers are back with the fury.
Having said that, we just were in a deal in the Palisades that we beat out 14 other offers and it sold $1.2 million over ask. And that was because they underpriced it.
Right, so, it's $1.2 million underpriced.
Correct.
Right.
Because it's worth what someone's willing to pay for it. Right.
Right? And so, also because if you look at the comps, you relatively know what the value is.
Correct.
So you know what it underpriced. We have that too. I have a listing in Silver Lake right now that had some, let me say, issues with the way it looks in the system.
Yep.
And so we had to slightly underprice it, but we have like 13 offers on it
right
now. See,
still going down.
It's going to sell for what it sells for.
Still going down.
Okay. Disclosure with counters, yes or no?
It depends. Again, every deal is so different. I love getting the disclosures out quickly, right? Like almost the next day if you can. Mm-hmm. Every seller is different. If I could get disclosures out, I would.
What about reports? What if you did a pre-inspection report? Do you provide those?
I never do them. No, we
never
don't.
Do them.
No, sometimes with a new construction, the developer will go off and get their own inspection report, and then they'll handle that punch list. Mm-hmm. And then if they send it to us, it's a matter of disclosure, and then yes, we'll send it to them.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, you don't recommend it?
Not don't recommend it, we just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Offer deadline? Yes or no? What would James do?
Always give an offer deadline.
Really?
Yep. Cool. Well, again, it depends on the situation. If there's 14 other offers and you're trying to be helpful and nice and cooperative, then no, but yes. If that makes sense.
Okay. Say that again.
No, but yes.
Electromagnetic inspections. Yes or no?
What the fuck is that?
Yes, exactly.
What is that? Electromagnetic inspection?
EMF, yes.
Yes. Have you ever had a buyer want to do that?
No, I've just heard about it right now. What is that?
Hey, so it is an inspection where it is determined what level of electromagnetic energy is going on in the house.
Oh, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Test for ghosts.
I'm not that guy. Hell no. I'm just not the guy. The dog whisperer, the electromagnet. I can't buy all that. Terrible.
Okay. So it's a no.
It's a no.
Okay. So what would James do? If you have the worst deal of your life, this client drives you up a freaking wall, the worst, you almost have to get a divorce because your wife is so sick of hearing you complain about this person, she can't handle it anymore. Mm-hmm. And then they offer you another listing. Do you take it? Yes or no?
Oh, I would say that's the beauty of having a business partner, right? Or now business partners. I would let one of them take it. We've only ever fired one client. One
Why?
Client. Because he was horrible. And I will never forget. He was screaming one day, and I looked at him, I said, you know what? Fuck you, I'm done. And David pulled me outside, he goes, I'll handle it. I was like, fine. And Dave lasted 2 weeks, and Dave was like, fuck you, I'm done. So it takes a lot to get me to that point. Like a lot,
well,
a lot,
what
a
was
lot.
It that was just really?
He was actually a great guy. He actually had a really good heart. He just had a funny way of showing it. But yeah, sometimes, again, going back to time is money, like how much time can you put into
Did
one
he
person?
Just not take your coaching?
No, that was the least of my problems.
Okay.
But just a nightmare.
Just a nightmare.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, okay. Puffing. Do you know the term?
Nope.
Okay, this is an A, B, C, or D answer, okay?
All right.
Puffing is a term referring to A, a large increase of sellers in a specific market, B, massive inflation of prices due to economic gains, C, extravagant claims made by sellers in order to attract buyers, or D, using another agent's funds to buy a property with their permission.
A.
A large increase of sellers in a specific market? Wrong.
B.
No.
What the fuck?
It's C, extravagant claims made by sellers in order to attract buyers.
Interesting.
Puffing. It is actually legal.
So a seller can make up a lie and it's legal?
No, you can exaggerate. Best views and blah, blah, blah. Okay. As long as it's not provable. So you can't say biggest lot in the Palisades if it's not the biggest lot.
Okay.
But you can say best views in Malibu because it's subjective. That's Got called it. Puffing.
All right, let's go puff.
Okay.
We do it puff, every puff. Day with how smart that we are.
That's how I got my wife.
I don't know what extravagant claims you made.
But I don't want to know. They were definitely puffing.
Okay, final question, my little test. Three identical properties in the valley were listed at the same time in a market where demand was constant. According to the law of supply and demand, which property would have sold for the lowest price?
All
three
of them.
Identical properties in
all
the valley.
Of them.
The first property, the second property, the third property, or the properties would all sell for the same price.
I would say the properties all sell for the same price.
Wrong.
Perfect.
The first property, because the first one sets the comps
Very
for the
true.
Second one and the second for the third.
Very true.
All
thank
right.
you
thank
very
you for
much.
Being a good sport.
Thank you for having
Appreciate
me, ladies.
I know people know where to find you, but I just want you to promote all your things you're doing because you have an amazing podcast, which I have listened to and I enjoy very much. It's
thank
so
you.
Informative.
Thank you.
So tell us where we can find your podcast.
Yeah, so we started Read the Blueprint, which is our newsletter, which I'm really excited about. That's definitely the passion project for us. It's just great information, real estate information. And then Rise Above the Ranks is the sister publication, which is our podcast. You can download it absolutely everywhere and anywhere, but go subscribe to Read the Blueprint. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. And on Instagram, you are?
James Bond ST.
Okay, ooh, there you go. Yeah. You're a double S.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
so much. Thank you.
Just delightful.
So fun.
So fun. And so good on camera. I'm like, damn.
I know. Those 14 seasons of $1 million
listing. I just wanted to say, have a little practice.
My goodness. And I was like, I'm tired. And then all of a sudden it's like, and now this.
Tired where? This is tired.
This is good.
But, you know, I appreciate him because he is a humble, successful person. And I think what he was saying is really valuable. And it's important for us as brokers to be around other people who understand the position that we're in. And like, mm-hmm. you know, even though he's not technically a broker, he is a team leader. And I do feel like some of the things that he was saying are things that we're encountering right now.
Yeah, totally. You know?
So yeah. I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
He's transparent.
Yeah.
And authentic.
I love it.
Gotta love that.
Yeah.
Well, with that then, I think this is our final episode of the year and of season 2 of Under All Is the Land. Thank you to all of our viewers and all of our guests and all the people who support us. We are so appreciative and we wish you happy holidays and a joyous new year. And we'll see you in the new year on Under All Is the Land.
For sure.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Under All Is the Land, real estate. Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under All Is the Land.